Hey, Damashek here. Make sure you check out the new episode of the Dave Damashek football program. We're joined by Meet the Press host and Green Bay Packers fan Chuck Todd, plus Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones, Drew, and I are setting the table for you just before kickoff. We're talking about the Vikings, the Colts, the entire AFC, the entire NFC. Football season is upon us. Check it out on iTunes or NFL.com/podcasts.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Would stop wearing pants if society allowed it.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes, Chris Wessling and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
The old three-man weave. The old Three Stooges. Is that what they did on Three Stooges? Wes, help me out.
I didn't like the Three Stooges as a show.
Right in your time period wheelhouse.
Not really. It's a little ancient for me.
You watched them, I bet, growing up. You said you did.
A little bit, but it was always one of those shows when it was on, I was looking to do something else, like when Taxi's on or MASH or Star Trek.
Everybody, can I just say, like, and if there's some
I've never watched any of those four shows that you just mentioned.
Good reason.
If there's any baby boomers listening, I apologize, but everybody's got to calm down with the Three Stooges stuff.
What, as if it's the great beacon of comedy?
Just calm down a little bit.
I can't disagree with
you. You kind of like it as something you watch growing up. But then, like, hey, when I want to watch some real comedy, Larry Moe and Curly, that's where I go.
Let's calm down with that just a little bit.
Make sure when you build your man cave, you have the picture of the Three Stooges golfing. That's a staple of all man caves.
I will make sure to do that. All right. Today is Monday. Tuesday, September 6th, 2016, which means we've made it, guys, to the end of the long road to a new football season. In just 2 days, the 2016 season kicks off with a rematch of Super Bowl 50 between the Broncos and Panthers, and we'll be covering that on this very show. A lot of fun stuff going on this week with the Around the NFL Podcast. Today, we're going to talk about all the latest news in a wild weekend, a cut-down weekend, and then get into Greg Rosenthal's fourth annual QB Index Extravaganza.
Fourth annual on the show? Have we done it?
Though? I don't know.
Who knows? It's the fourth year that the column has existed. Yes.
Right. And what Greg does every week, he updates his QB index, and this is, and we'll get into it later, but for Greg, the toughest one is the one right before the season starts.
Yeah, the whole first month is confusing. But yeah, before the season starts, because you got nothing to evaluate.
Well, just copy and paste your week 17
list. You know, we'll get to that later, right before the extended Three Stooges talk, which wraps up the show.
Let's talk football at all times. I am Greg.
Lots of yucks there with the Three Stooges talk.
Mark Sessler is not here today, as you may have noticed. Or maybe not. Sometimes Mark doesn't talk for long stretches on the show. And in this case, he is out sick today. And we were supposed to do our sandwich props today. Go get my lunch, you turd. But we cannot do it without the fourth horseman. So what we're going to do is actually add a supplemental episode of the Around the NFL Podcast this week. Tomorrow it will go up tomorrow, late afternoon, early evening, on the West Coast here in the United States, that will have just solely be the home of our sandwich props. That's exciting.
Go Get My Lunch is, I believe, the best game we've created and one of our best segments. And I believe it has standalone value.
I'm with you. I think Mark being sick, we might have stumbled upon something here that you get a little bonus. And this is, you know, let's face it, if you like the show, if you're a regular longtime listener, I think you'll like this one a little extra.
Absolutely.
First week of the
Absolutely.
Season.
So on Wednesday, yes, that's when we'll drop that. And then the following day, late Thursday, we will have our third podcast of the week, in which we'll preview all of the week one games and then, yes, recap the Thursday night opener. And then that gives way, of course, to Sunday night, the return of our flagship show, the weekly recaps. So, yes, a busy week ahead for the Around the NFL Podcast, but it starts right here. And let's start by saying hello to the Irishman behind the glass. What's up, buddy?
You know what? I'm thinking after we just talked about go get my lunch tomorrow.
Did you notice that Irishman now has, like, bits, like, lined up when they say hello to him? He used to be like, hey, man. I'd be like, hey, what's going on? Now it's like you say hi to Irish.
He's like.
And then he's like into, like, a Jerry Seinfeld stream of consciousness riff.
He's, like, looking at notes below. It just says, like, orange bit.
It's got, like, okay. Flop sweat.
Sorry.
This is an Irish. This is stretch run Adonis with newfound confidence.
That's true.
See, I mean, that builds right into it because I am on my stretch run here. I have, what, like, 3.5 weeks left.
Okay.
We don't like to talk about that, Irish.
But I feel like we need like a sandwich schedule for me because I feel like that's a good idea.
That is so fair because we get on each other and people outside the podcast for not owing or not paying off sandwiches. And yet we owe you one each for what was it again?
It was Jalen Smith.
Your sandwich tomorrow is taken care of. I got it. If I put this on tape, maybe it'll make myself do it.
And I got yours next week, buddy.
All right, I love that.
This time next week. Or pick the day next week, and you got a high-octane sandwich coming your way. Let's do some news.
This is the stupidest trade in the history of sports. It literally, my whole life is my mother and my family and the Eagles. Like, I love this team more than anything. And I cannot believe that we gave up a first-rounder from next year and a second-rounder from 2018 for a guy who has not even played Division I talent.
How about that?
Sounds like every caller into every sports radio show in history.
Specifically Philadelphia involving Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz, who was picked second overall. We're going to get to him in a second. But let's talk first about the man who we thought was going to be opening the season as the starter of the Eagles, Sam Bradford. But guess what? Teddy Bridgewater blows out his knee in horrifying fashion, and it sets in motion a domino effect that ends with Sam Bradford being traded to the Minnesota Vikings this week in exchange for a 2017 first-round pick and a 2018 fourth-round pick. And wow, Greg Rosenthal, you wrote the winners and losers piece on this. I think the first thought of everyone was, wait, Sam Bradford could fetch that type of value in 2016?
Is it that crazy to think it's good for both sides, yet that, yes, given the circumstances, he is worth that much to this year's Minnesota Vikings? And when I listen to them talk about it, I'm not high on Sam Bradford at all. But I don't think you can go into a season with that roster with Sean Hill as your starting quarterback, moving into a new stadium, especially when you don't know when Teddy Bridgewater is going to be back, if he's going to be back next year. And I thought it was telling that the Vikings general manager said it was really important to him that Bradford was under contract for 2 years as opposed to one. And I think they're looking at this as, we'll see how it goes, but it might be a medium to long-term type of thing.
The mesmerizing, spellbinding hold that Sam Bradford has over executive and scouts in the NFL is amazing, and it's funny to me that every year when you see these trades, they point to like a 3 or 4 game stretch that Sam Bradford has and ignore the rest of the data altogether.
Well, that's what the Eagles pointed to all offseason
exactly.
To justify them.
The Eagles pointed to the final 7 games. Rick Spielman pointed to a final month stretch, and that's what they do. They ignore the bulk of the evidence on Sam Bradford and go with his 3 or 4 most impressive games in a season.
But here's the thing. Hasn't it been proven that the 20th best starting quarterback in the league is worth a lot? I mean, if you look at what Brock Osweiler fetched, obviously what Bradford fetched, that has significant value compared to the 45th best quarterback in the league.
Perhaps. But Wes, I'll let you go first. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
He hasn't learned the offense yet. It's a leap of faith to say he's going to be the 20th best quarterback in the NFL coming into a new offense the first week of the season. And not to mention, is he really the 20th best quarterback in the NFL if he plays about 11 games per season on average?
And I'll take
okay, that's fair.
A more macro viewpoint on it. And I wrote about this on Friday about how the Vikings just had terrible luck and they don't need this at this stage, all the stuff they put up with. But the truth of the matter is, when the football gods bang you like this, and the Vikings got banged hard right before the last preseason game, their quarterback's knee explodes essentially like a bomb hit it. And so what did they do? They couldn't live with the fact that they had this team they thought was Super Bowl ready So they felt compelled to make, to me, what felt like a panic trade, the type of trade that they had no other options. They looked around. They didn't like their backup quarterback. They obviously, there were no real options on the free agent pile. So they made the best trade they thought they could. But that doesn't mean it was the right trade to make. Sometimes when you get banged, like they got banged here, you just get banged.
And stop saying banged.
You just got to live with it. And it's not your season, and you hope that Teddy Bridgewater comes back, or you hope Sean Hill turns into something, or something else happens. But
he's not turning into something.
I'm just,
or
all
you
I'm
sign
saying
Mark
is
Sanchez
by giving mortgaging a big part of your future for a guy that everyone that follows football knows is a limited player. To me, it was a panic move and something they should not have done. You can't force the issue like this.
I'm glad they made a panic move, because I agree with Greg that it makes both teams more watchable this year. The Vikings, with Sean Hill at quarterback, would have been one of the most unwatchable teams in the NFL.
Right.
And the Eagles with Sam Bradford at quarterback would not be nearly as much fun as Carson Wentz. So I agree. I think it was a panic move. The Vikings were desperate, and I'm glad they did it.
Well, here, I think the stadium is a huge part of it. I really think.
Yeah, I agree.
Which shouldn't be a part of it, by the way. I'm sorry.
That's
it just
the
shouldn't.
Way owners and executives think, though.
That the excitement I talked about last week, that's maybe one of the hardest things to do in sports, to time the crescendo of an organization lifting up as they're moving into a beautiful new stadium, and then to have it all just ruined right before the season was crushing. Here's the thing, though. First-round picks, obviously they're the most valuable thing that you can have. But if he gives them okay starting quarterback play for a couple years, I mean, you can blow your first-round pick in a lot of different ways. The Vikings have proven to be pretty good at it lately. Trey Waynes was their first-round pick last year. He's done absolutely nothing for them and is not going to really be a big part of this team. Matt Khalil was a first-round pick a few years ago. He's one of the worst left tackles in the league. Like, no, people criticized for giving up first-round picks.
But again, you're working under the assumption that Sam Bradford not only stays on the field, but plays like a top 20-level quarterback. And that is a huge reach.
You're putting a lot of faith in Norv Turner, and you're putting a lot of faith in Pat Shurmur, who has been Sam Bradford's, I don't even know, like special godparent or something throughout his NFL career in St. Louis and now Philadelphia and Minnesota. He's the one helping to give Bradford all these chances.
And let's now and see how things now spin. Sam Bradford suddenly out of the picture in Philly, and I think a lot of people, at least I thought, thought, okay, now Chase Daniel, who the head coach coveted to bring into the building, becomes their quarterback for how long, we don't know, but at least to start the season. But no, we learn that the decision has been made that Carson Wentz, the guy who barely played in the preseason after sustaining an injury in the first week of action, will be the week one starter. Wes, what was your first takeaway to this? This was stunning to me as well.
My first takeaway was what changed. I know that you traded Sam Bradford, but if Carson Wentz wasn't ready to start with Sam Bradford in the house, why is he ready to start with Chase Daniels in the house? Either he's ready or he's not. What we saw in the first preseason game with his mechanical flaws suggests that he's nowhere close to being ready.
My thought was, man, they have a lot of belief in Carson Wentz. I mean, they must just have a pure, undying belief in their scouting and what they've seen in practices, obviously, because of the picks that they gave up to get this guy. And then to do this, as you said, put him over Chase Daniel, trade away Bradford in the first place. In some, you know, ways, you can look at it like they're not giving up on the season, but they're not doing everything possible to win games, because otherwise they had said their best chance to win was with Sam Bradford, and then they traded him.
This makes me think, how bad is Chase Daniel? A guy that
supposedly he's had a bad offseason.
I mean, a bad offseason, and maybe this is a situation where the front office wasn't in lockstep with a coach that liked the guy a lot. Because you would think, even if he was half decent, this is why he was brought on. So to take him out of the picture here tells me that they really didn't think he could give them any value as a starter.
Yeah, that's true, and he's making more money than a lot of starters. I think when you say they're not giving up on the season, that's fair. No NFL team admits to giving up on a season, but this is a tacit acknowledgement that they're building.
Yeah.
They're not expecting to contend with Wentz as the starter.
They must love him in practice, and the reports were that Wentz outplayed Daniel in practice significantly, so I guess why wouldn't you let him play? The crazy thing is that one preseason game, if you look at it, he had 50% completions. He fumbled. He was very inaccurate. He had a bad interception in the red zone. I mean, and then he got hurt, and he took a lot of big hits. So it was about as bad a half as you could have.
It was like boiling Blake Bortles' entire season into one half.
He also made a couple unbelievable plays, and he kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson, how he can make unblocked defenders miss. He's going to be exciting.
All right, let's move on, guys. We could talk about that for an entire show, the fascinating dynamic in Philly right now. But we got more to get to, so let's move on to Josh Sitton, who was an all-pro guard with the Green Bay Packers last year. So there was no reason to think he would not have a central role with the team this year, but apparently not, because the team decided to release the guard, a guy who had played 110 and 112 games with the team since 2009. They tried to trade him, couldn't find a taker or couldn't work out a deal, according to Mike Garafolo. Garafolo, still working on that.
Garafolo.
So what happens? He hits a street, and you knew Josh Sitton would not be out of work long. Days later, he signs with the Chicago Bears, so he stays in the division. Rap Sheet reported the deal is worth $21.75 million with $10 million in guarantees over 3 years. Wes, what's going on in the interior offensive lines when this is happening? I'm confused.
This seemed like it was all a Ted Thompson decision, that Josh Sitton was going into his last year of his contract, and Ted Thompson didn't want to pay him the money. So we're going to turn the position over to Lane Taylor, a complete unknown who struggled a little bit in pass protection last year on the interior.
Yeah, but, Greg, this guy was rated, PFF had him as one of the best guards in the league. He was all-pro.
Second-team all-pro, yeah.
Second-team all-pro.
For three straight years.
He was not making a ton of money this year, wasn't due a ton of money. They didn't have a proven guy ready to step in. What are we missing here?
Yeah, I think this is something where there's more to the story, and we're not going to know what it is. Maybe some reporter that's a true, intrepid, inside Packers reporter will get the story, because I think there's something missing.
That sounds like a challenge to either Connor or Mark Sessler.
No, it was maybe more to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel staff, the Green Bay Press Gazette. I mean, they have some of the best reporters in the league, and they're all dumbfounded. This move was among, if not the most surprising, Saturday cut-down day moves that I can remember in the last 5 or 6, 7 years. You always are on that day, you know, thinking, okay, there'll be a surprise or two. You don't see all pros get cut out of nowhere when you think they're playing well.
You know what it reminds me of is the year that Randy Moss was irritated with his contract situation in New England, and they decided to ship him out.
But he, yeah.
I mean, this is what a lot of coaches do. Because the team is so tenuous that you have to have the feeling that you're all in it for the team. And if one guy is worried so much about his contract that he's making waves, I can see how sometimes that's an issue. And I think Belichick does that as much as anybody in the league.
It also makes me think at least a little bit that what we talk about often, no one can really – it's hard for us to evaluate interior line play. I think Pro Football Focus does an incredible job, but sometimes NFL teams disagree with their analysis, obviously. I mean, everyone's going to see players differently. I can't imagine they would cut Josh Sitton if they thought he could be a top five guard this year. He lost 20 pounds. You know, there's other – you know, he lost 20 pounds. He intended to do that this offseason, but I don't know, maybe they had concerns.
And then on the other side, that's a huge pickup for the Bears. I mean, that team that we talked about it, not a lot of hope around the Bears, and their offensive line was a major issue all throughout the summer. And all of a sudden, like a gift from God, you have a second team all-pro guard walk into the building.
If Josh Sitton's what he's been the past few years, and Long is who we think he is, he's been injured, I think that could be one of the best guard duos in the NFL. They still have issues at center and tackle, but it would go a long way toward clarifying an issue that was a problem throughout August.
All right, let's move on, guys, and talk about the San Francisco 49ers quarterback situation. Colin Kaepernick will be on the Niners. There was talk. Kaepernick, who is obviously in the middle of a huge national controversy over his refusal to stand for the national anthem, and also, you know, his poor play in recent seasons combined with Blaine Gabbert being in the picture made you think that either he'd get the RG3 treatment and could get ice for the season, which I guess is still technically could be in play, or he'd get cut or somehow traded if they could find a taker. But as of right now, he will be on the team for the Niners. Blaine Gabbert will be the starting quarterback, Wes, and that completes quite a career comeback for Gabbert, who's now a week one starter after many people left him for dead. But is it even a huge achievement considering the team that he's on?
I don't think so. Honestly, who did he have to beat out? Colin Kaepernick, who was injured the entire offseason, showed up severely underweight.
Still is.
For training camp, and was even injured in training camp with an arm issue. So, no, I don't think it's some great achievement by Blaine Gabbert, and I would like to know what the two of you think the over-under is on starts for Blaine Gabbert this year.
Do we think that Kaepernick will be the actual backup, or do we think it could be an ice situation?
I think the over-under to answer, and this answers both, would be about five. He starts three early. Look at the first three games. Rams, good defense. At Carolina, at Seattle. I mean, I wouldn't put it past Chip Kelly to think that, okay, we're going to get Colin Kaepernick ready. The beginning of this season is brutal anyways. We'll see how those three games go, and maybe he'll be ready to play against some teams we can compete against.
So you think it'll be Kaepernick, not Ponder, taking over?
I do. Now, we disagreed last week on whether Kaepernick would be on this team. It never made sense to me whether Kaepernick would get cut, because I think Chip Kelly, he wants options. He doesn't care about the issues that are going on.
Chip Kelly doesn't control the 53-man roster, according to Chip Kelly.
I'm sure that his input in terms of Colin Kaepernick making the team matters. I mean, he said publicly, and maybe this is a message to his front office. Who knows? He's one of the best two quarterbacks on the team. I thought Kaepernick on Thursday night, it was a really interesting moment, especially for the last night of the preseason, which is Dudsville. All the pressure he had put on himself, and then, of course, he knelt for the anthem this time. He didn't sit. All of that going into the game, the crowd booing and going out there. It's like he had put all this pressure on himself, and the first thing he goes out there and does a 15-play touchdown drive with some nice throws in there, some bad throws
too. Double duds too, yeah.
Yeah, some nice throws in there, 15-play touchdown drive. It was the best drive I saw out of the 49ers the whole preseason. I kind of watched that, and I was like, that was badass.
Well, that was kind of badass.
Against defensive players that won't even make the team.
There were some starters. There were some not. I mean, you could say that about Tom Brady, too, against the Giants, and he struggled. Like, I'm just saying there was as much pressure in a preseason performance, his roster spot and everything that had been going on as possible, and he looked a lot better than you would have expected.
I'm going to say under on the Gabbert. What is it, five and a half, five starts, you said?
Well, I said five. Yeah, you got to give the number, Wes, to go over.
No, you gave the number.
Okay.
All right, so you said it at what?
I'll say five.
I think I'm going to go crazy here. I'm going to say three quarterbacks on that roster will start at least four games. I think we're going to see all of them. Because the thing, and somebody brought it up on Twitter, Wes, over the weekend. Let's not forget, amid all this controversy around Colin Kaepernick, that the guy can't play anymore unless somehow he gets fixed. And judging by the way he looks and one magical drive in the end of August accepted, there's a good chance he'll get on the field. He'll stink up the joint. Blaine Gabbert, come on, let's calm down. He stinks too. And then Ponder, who's a former starter, they'll probably turn to him at some point too. I think it's all part of a very long season for Chip Kelly in San Francisco.
Well, there aren't many quarterbacks that could succeed with the talent around them in
That's
San
true.
Francisco. But I do – we give Chip Kelly a lot of credit. Why not give him a little time with Colin Kaepernick?
Let's move on and talk a crazy situation here. In L.A. with the Rams. Jared Goff, who was the first overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft, in an era where any first-round pick, for the most part, starts. Even Carson Wentz found a way to start week one. Jared Goff went one overall. That's a lock to start week one. Not only is he not starting against the 49ers on Monday Night Football, he won't even be in uniform. He'll be in street clothes as the emergency third-string backup. Chris Wessling, how did we get here?
I would direct everyone to read Mike Silver's latest long form on the education of quarterbacks in today's NFL. It is one of the best pieces I've read all year, any football article. And a lot of it goes into how college quarterback is so easy to play because of the spread offenses that it's hard to judge them. And I think you see Goff's struggles pre-snap and post-snap in the preseason. Two different areas that really, the post-snap is more processing, the pre-snap is more preparation, and he struggles with both of them. I don't think a lot of people are surprised from that, considering his college offense. But the Rams have to be disappointed that this guy's going to be one of the most expensive scout team quarterbacks in NFL history. He's going to be running the scout team in Rams practices.
That's wild. It's so crazy. And part of me is like, oh, okay, the Rams, on some level, deserve a little bit of credit here. They know he's not ready. And they're resisting the pressure just because he's the first pick to make him play football in week one. But then part of me is like, Whoa, wait a second. You don't even trust him to be the backup quarterback. That's almost – you're almost putting it in his head that he's a mess right now.
Here's the weird part. Jeff Fisher tells Steve Wyche, NFL media Steve Wyche, that he won't play in week one. He'll be the third quarterback. But in week two, it'll probably be Sean Mannion who's the week. What's going to change in a week?
What a mess.
That makes no sense to me.
Well, Fisher's comments on quarterbacks to the media to me are meaningless. I mean, he just says things to say things because coaches have to say things. And I don't think he gives away almost anything of what he's really feeling. I'm not going to – you never know. God, just because he struggles right now, we've talked about it. Alex Smith, Eli Manning were in worse situations, I would say, at this point in their rookie year. And it got even worse when they got put into games. So you don't want to play a guy if he's clearly not ready. And he could totally – turn it around, but I don't want to hear any spin about I told you guys that Keenum was the starter the whole time. That's Jeff Fisher's. Like, give me a break. What? It is a disappointment. There's, you know, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. But
they gave up all those draft picks just to go with Case Keenum?
He said, well, I told you guys that's the starter the whole time.
I am really excited to watch Tuesday night, the finale of Hard Knocks, with a special eye on how this last week played out with Goff, because they must have really been spooked by something that's happened in these final weeks to think that they need to take what to me seems like a drastic measure in his progress.
I think he's going to start a lot of games this year.
Oh, over under game. I'll set it at 7.5.
Over.
Under.
The guy who's opening out of uniform in week one will start more than half their games.
He's not ready.
Fisher is already saying that he might bump up to backup. You lose a couple games. I think
watch the fourth preseason game and tell me if you believe that.
I believe that.
A train wreck.
It has a lot to do with what the record is.
Do you believe that the Rams coaching staff can get Jared Goff ready to play in 2 months?
Well, that's the question.
That's fair, dog.
I think that's where you can't really criticize Goff as much as criticize the whole operation, because if you ask what team do you not want to get drafted by if you're a young quarterback looking to develop, I would say these Rams would have to be near the top of the list.
That's fair.
Can't disagree with that.
All right, guys. Our final bit of action here in the news is a little bit of odds and ends. Odds and ends. Odds and ends. Everybody likes some odds and ends. So you got to hit it right at the end there. All right, let's get going.
Ooh, I like this.
All right, Rob Ninkovich facing a 4-game suspension for testing positive for a banned substance. More trouble for the Patriots, who just – they can't stop cheating, Greg, right?
I just wanted – I knew you would just –
this is the throne of ease. He's already out with an injury. He just spends his suspension on the sidelines in the trainer's room.
I'll do anything to get ahead. You're hired, Bill Belichick.
Stop.
And other Patriots news, other Patriots news, Eric Rowe. Philadelphia's bust second-round pick cornerback has been traded for offensive lineman Josh Klein in a 2018 fourth-round pick, Greg. What's that about? New England in a scramble to get their roster set.
They have a thin quarterback group, but I'm always very wary of a guy that's stunk that bad in one place. Why is he going to be that much better in New England?
Did he stink that bad?
I don't know. They thought he was. He was fifth on their depth chart.
That's just that Howie Roseman, let me get rid of everybody Chip Kelly brought in mentality.
Chicago Bears linebacker Pernell McPhee, one of their best players last season, facing the prospect of starting the season on the PUP list. In fact, he is on the PUP list, correct?
That is a major injury for the Bears. That looked like the strength of their team, those outside linebackers, and he's their best player.
Mark Sanchez cut by the Broncos, one of the probably had to be the lowest moment of his career, counting the butt fumble, signs with the Dallas Cowboys. He will now back up Dak Prescott, Wes.
Yeah, hopefully we'll never see him play this year.
Can we turn this up a little bit? I just want to hear it.
It's not quite sweet, Georgia Brown.
Life isn't so bad, though, for Mark Sanchez, if you think about it. You get cut by the defending Super Bowl champions. You end up on the Cowboys. He already had a suite at Jerry World to watch USC the day that he was released.
That's true.
By the way, they can't talk about, oh, we didn't talk to him early. How's he got a suite there that night?
And you're also... You made a point in a write-up. He'll be starting on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. It's all a scheme for that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have lost Bud Dupree, who's moved to injured reserve. The linebacker had missed all of the preseason with a issue with his core muscle, a tear in that area. How big a loss is that, Wes?
Well, we're not sure he was even better than James Harrison.
So. He was probably going to start, though.
Harrison and
Jarvis Jones.
I can't say it's a huge loss because these young Pittsburgh linebackers haven't been what they're cracked up to be.
The Jets wiped away two sins of the Glacier era, cutting tight end Jason Morrow and waiving D. Milner, a first-round pick. Milner was supposed to replace Revis after they traded him to the Bucs. Morrow not being able to stick on a team with no tight ends tells you a lot about Jason Morrow, who is known as soft. He subsequently was picked up by the Titans, making him one of Wes's favorite players.
Well, the Titans don't add soft players.
Have you finally given up on D. Milner? Are you going to follow him to the next team?
No,
again? You were still there as of like 2 weeks ago.
I was, but he couldn't stay on the field. The guy's body betrayed him. It's all over. Speaking of all over, Justin Gilbert, another huge bust cornerback of the Cleveland Browns, was traded to the Steelers for a sixth-round pick. And everybody all excited. Oh, the Browns, they keep spinning magic, getting draft picks for bust. Well, you still took bust, so let's not get too excited about what you did. Let's just be fair.
I like that Aditi Kinkawala had some texts from the Browns staff that essentially was laughing about Gilbert's chances of returning it around in Pittsburgh.
He's been one of the most maligned young players I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, in a very long time. What happens if he becomes an All-Pro with the Steelers, as Mark said?
Well, him and Mingo will be together on the All-Pro team.
This seems like a bad thing. Darren McFadden, who fell and broke his elbow a few months back, is not sure if he'll ever be able to fully extend his arm again.
Oh, yeah. That's a problem.
I like extending my arm.
Oh, yeah, you do?
This is what happens when you get old.
It's key.
Your limbs just don't work right anymore.
Yeah. And finally, this line from Jerry Jones on Tony Romo, who will remain on the active roster. You don't have to spend a lot of time going over and kind of circumcising the mosquito. Irishman, what does that mean, to circumcise the mosquito?
I have no idea.
All right, Greg?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, Wes.
This means let's not go into too much detail and pick this thing apart. Just take it for what it's
worth. I didn't want to give a real answer.
Oh, like we don't need to see the mosquito's is that basically what you're saying? Got it.
He's saying you're going to need tiny tweezers to circumcise it. Don't go in that far for the close-up.
This is such a small issue. Let's not make a big deal out of it. Much like the mosquito's penis.
Don't look at the mosquito's The circumcision thing, that's a little gross to me.
I think it's a southernism. I think it's a well-known phrase throughout the South.
Okay. And that wraps odds and ends. I like that. I like that little... Before the show, Wes, you weren't in the highest spirits, but when you hear that song, that's a little bounce. It makes you feel like you're on the dock at Tybee again, doesn't it?
Yeah, it reminds me of Sweet Georgia Brown, the old Harlem Globetrotters theme song.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have the rights to that.
Yeah. Well, we got the generic knockoff version.
Yeah. Very close to
it. We got
like
the Washington Generals version.
Very good. I like that. All right. That's what's happening in the news. All right, here we go. Greg going on and on about this. He's like, when are we going to talk about it on the podcast? This is one of my big things I write every year. I want the glory. Give it to me.
This is all not true. I literally suggested not doing this on the podcast, and you pushed for it. This lets our listeners into the mind of Dan Hansis.
I think that just let us into the mind of Greg Rosenthal.
You want to be in the mind of Dan Hansis? I love talking about QBs. Love it. You say, I didn't love talking about division-by-division previews for 7 months.
Well, that was obvious.
No, but I love talking about quarterbacks in all forms. So can you give us, Greg, as you do let out a deep sigh, first of all, an overview of what the QB index is, and if people are new to the website or to this podcast, what they can expect?
Well, I'll watch all the quarterbacks I can, basically every game every week, and we'll be ranking them based on how they're performing in this season alone. But for this entry-level preseason edition, it's a little bit of a different question. What quarterback do I want running my team this year? Just answering that question, ranking the quarterbacks. Who do you like for 2016?
That's fair. And I think it's a great exercise, but you said that it's tough. Here.
Oh, we're back. We're back in Tybee. I like it.
It's kind of like the Mr. Belvedere theme a little bit.
I don't know how this song got associated with Tybee.
Yeah. Why are we back here for the quarterback?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea how that happened. But you said it's hard to do it before the season starts, and that's what we've done here.
Well, people I know will look at this list, and there's some players, some young players, where I'm essentially projecting. I'm saying, who do I want this season? Who do I really trust? Who do I think is going to have a great season? So some guys who maybe haven't done it before are getting treated and ranked like they have ahead of some veterans, because I'm excited about them.
All right, so you don't have the rookies on here for the simple fact that they haven't played yet. So you're not going to go crazy. But then again, you got Jimmy Garoppolo on this list. How does Jimmy get there?
Well, he's played in some regular season games. Doesn't. He's played 3 preseason games. You're right. I mean, the rookies.
Trevor Siemian, what's he doing there?
We've seen Siemian in the preseason. There's not much difference between them and the rookies. You're right. But
I feel like Dak should be on this. All right, let's not get caught up with that. That's your decision, your editorial decision.
I feel like it's a fair criticism.
It does seem a little.
This thing hasn't been published yet.
Oh, okay.
So you're still working on it.
I would put Siemian and Prescott on the same level.
All right, let's start at the top of the list, though. And these are the you have it broken into tiers, it looks like, 1 through 7. How would you describe these first 7 names, starting with Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Drew Brees, and Phil Rivers? What is that 7? What do they represent?
Well, they're all handsome. They're what you look for in a quarterback. I mean, they're the best of the best. To me, they all could put up an MVP season, and it wouldn't totally shock you.
You think Ben Roethlisberger is handsome?
No, but just something I said.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is number 1 on this list for me, because when it comes down to it, to me, this week's ranking especially is not just about, obviously, what you did last year. I could rerun my end-of-the-year rankings. It's about what we've seen over the last decade. And to me, Aaron Rodgers has been the best quarterback of the decade. He's still in his prime. He's got plenty of talent around him. So there's no reason for me, really, to think that he can't be the best quarterback once again.
There had to have been these first 5 guys on the list just trying to enter your mindset. Not much separation.
No.
Because I would have Russell Wilson in a dogfight with Aaron Rodgers for the top spot in this list. There's no quarterback I really trust in the NFL more than Russell Wilson at this stage.
Even more than Roethlisberger. Trust is a good word, because I think when you say trust, Russell Wilson makes more sense on a game-to-game level than Roethlisberger.
He's my MVP pick this year, Russell Wilson.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. In fact, I think I might have picked him in the NFL.com analyst predictions that we had to do. Yeah, all 5 of those guys, to me, that's the top level. And I threw Brees and Rivers in there because, to me, they're set apart from the rest as well.
And then you have 8 and 9 in their on their own little island, Andrew Luck and Carson Palmer, followed by, on their own little island, 10 and 11. And this is where it gets really interesting to me. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. There are a lot of solid names beneath these 2 guys. What have they done to be this high on the list, especially if we were going to talk about trust? Are we ready to trust them at this level?
I think going into their second season, based on what they showed as rookies and a little bit preseason and what we've heard about them this offseason, that we should expect them to be much better this season. And if you look at their rookie years compared to other great quarterbacks' rookie years, or even let's dial it back to last year even, Blake Bortles and Derek Carr and Teddy Bridgewater. Think of them after their first season. And Bridgewater didn't make that leap. But think of Bortles and Carr after their rookie season and the type of leap that they made. Winston and Mariota were at such a higher level already than those 2 guys were as rookies. And I think they're going to do it in different ways, but I think they both have everything you would want out of a quarterback to be a top-shelf type of quarterback. To make a Russell Wilson or Andrew Luck type second year leap. Those guys were on the borderline of a top 10 quarterback in their second year.
Wes?
Well, you already know how I feel about Mariota. I don't think I need to go into more detail on that one. I'm kind of flummoxed about Carson Palmer, who finished number 2 on your season ending rankings, and now you've dropped him all the way to number 9 out of the top tier.
Okay, tell me which quarterbacks ahead of him that you would rather have this year rather than Carson Palmer.
I would definitely put him over Phillip Rivers. I would also put Andrew Luck over Phillip Rivers.
Okay, so you found one name, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got him at a totally different tier. That's what I mean. Is it the hand-wringing over the playoff performance?
That has to be it.
Is it the worries about that the Harold Goodwin-led offense in the preseason hasn't produced anything?
It's a little bit of the playoffs. It's a little bit of his age, and it's a lot of his career. To me, Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees have been better players than Carson Palmer basically every season for the last 10 seasons except for last year. And I'm going to ultimately trust them more than I trust Palmer.
Doesn't Palmer have the best record in the NFL since he landed with Bruce Arians or something? I mean, he's
right. He had
he's
a good,
been a different quarterback under Arians.
Absolutely. He got hurt the first time around. He was great that year too. But yeah, I could see Carson Palmer, some of those chances that he's taken get intercepted and people be a little down on him. I trust those other guys more.
All right, let's look now at the mid-tier. Now we're like kind of right in the middle, flirting with that old Dalton line.
I'm redoing the tiers as we're talking, so this is good exercise.
Okay, like good. This. I'm glad that we can do your work for you during this part of the show. It's good. Number 12, you started with Andy Dalton, so he is the best of the not – the best of the good? Is that a fair way to simplify it? Or
yeah, this is kind of the middle group of good quarterbacks.
Okay, so you got Andy Dalton followed by Matt Ryan, followed by Eli Manning at number 15 – which is right in the middle here on this list. Blake Bortles, Alex Smith, Joe Flacco at 17, Derek Carr at 18, and just because we gotta show respect for a guy with tantalizing skill set, Matthew Stafford up at 19. So that's that middle tier. Wes, your thoughts?
There's not a lot to quibble with here. I would probably have Blake Bortles and Alex Smith both higher than Eli Manning.
Yeah. I think I heard all the, you know, all the people that have been criticized for being a little negative about Eli Manning.
Wait, what
Dan
is
Hansis
this?
Has pointed this out.
What is this exercise? Who you want for this season?
Yeah, this season only.
Wes, didn't you just say that you think he could lead the league in touchdowns this year?
Yeah, but I also said that's driven almost purely by Odell Beckham.
But I'm just saying the production is production.
If you put Blake Bortles in the Giants offense, I think he'd throw 40 touchdowns.
Well, that's the argument against Carson Palmer for what it's worth. You put Phillip Rivers or Drew Brees or any of those guys on the Cardinals team, I think they would be as good or better.
Well, I don't agree with it.
Right.
It's hard to do better than what Carson Palmer did last year.
This tier was by far the hardest part of the exercise for me. I've shuffled them around. Bortles and Smith were a little higher earlier. I have a hard time with the whole Bortles car. Now Bridgewater's out of that mix for this season, but he would have been there. Alex Smith, who I think is going to have a great year, and Matt Ryan. I don't know what to do with Matt Ryan. I feel like Wes and I are the last two people on Matt Ryan Island.
I still like him better than Dalton.
People don't know what to do with him anymore. That was a weird last season he had.
And wouldn't – I'm a little over influenced by the Jim Bob Cooter editor, but, man, Matthew Stafford looked good once Cooter took over and looked
Cooter.
Good in this preseason. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Stafford put up a big numbers fantasy type of season this year.
I don't think anything would ever surprise you with Matthew Stafford.
All right, I found the Dalton line of your list. It's this next tier.
Yeah.
20 through 23 is Kirk Cousins – which is a little high. I thought you would drop him a little lower. Ryan Tannehill at 21, Tyrod Taylor at 22, and Jay Cutler at 23. This is the Dalton line right around here.
Yeah, you could put it after it, but Cousins is the new Dalton, I guess.
This is the make or break tier.
Yeah, thanks. I can make that the little heading.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins on a one-year contract, Tyrod Taylor. We'll see if the Bills pick up his option. The Bears have no more guaranteed money due Jay Cutler. And Ryan Tannehill, how he does in his first season with Gase is going to determine his future in Miami.
It really is that you're compared to your contemporaries because these guys aren't – they're not terrible starting quarterbacks, and yet they're buried here in the 20s.
There's reasons to like all four of those.
Right. There's reasons – none of them, it would surprise you if they're Pro Bowl quarterbacks. Cutler, maybe.
Two of the biggest coach killers of the 21st century in this tier.
Mm. Dan loves coach killers.
What? Why would I love coach killers? Michael Bennett had nice things to say about Ryan Tannehill, by the way. He
this
doesn't
year.
Have nice things to say about anyone.
Wait, what did he say?
He had this to say. They both went to Texas A&M together. He was a senior, Bennett, when Tannehill was a freshman wide receiver. Tannehill was the best athlete at our school, better than Von Miller, better than me. My brother, Martellus Bennett, would argue that. But Tannehill was one of the best athletes I've ever seen. He ran a 4.4. He could do every type of dunk. He was just cool. He was a smooth, cool guy.
If I had to pick one quarterback to describe as uncool in the NFL, it might be Ryan Tannehill.
But it points out it's a little underrated, like, We've seen
what, dunking?
No, we've seen quarterbacks go to wide receiver. It's a little underrated to be a D decent wide receiver at the college level, like playing, right? Ryan yeah. Tannehill was getting snaps and was somewhat
big D1 program.
And switched to playing quarterback and just be like, okay, yeah, I'm a great quarterback too.
Well.
Well.
Cheapening the word great.
I mean, he got picked in the, what, number 12 overall.
Who
well,
gets,
great enough.
Who gets thrown so under. Yeah, who gets thrown under the Ryan Tannehill bus next? So many bodies strewn across the roadway.
God. Good question.
Now the next tier. This is the guys that you don't really believe in, Greg. That's how I read into this.
This might really be the Dalton line, although it's very low.
Oh, that's not the Dalton line.
Number 24, my boy, Ryan Fitzpatrick. 25, Sam Bradford. 26, Brock Osweiler. 27, Jimmy Garoppolo. 28, Trevor Siemian. 29, RG3. 30, now it's getting dark, Blaine Gabbert. 31, Case Keenum.
Yeah, this will be broken up a little bit into tiers because it's unfair to put Fitzpatrick in the same tier.
He should be in the next one, at the bottom of the next
I would much rather have Fitzpatrick as my field general than Jay Cutler.
Interesting. Don't really?
Yes! We do this every year where everybody overrates Jay Cutler.
Well, the difference is now overrating him, according to you, is ranking him 23rd in the league. So, I mean, even his rating's not too high at this point.
I'm sure that will go a long way towards his 5-win season.
I would move Fitz up. You could quibble whether you want him ahead of Cutler or not, but he should be in that group. And then you could start, like, the real dregs with Sam Bradford. You don't have to put Ryan that low. I mean, that's disrespectful.
But I think you have to look at, and granted he's in a great situation and he'll probably put up some numbers this year, but you have to look at what he's done throughout his career.
I get it. But isn't this just about this season?
Yeah, it is.
Maybe he found his spot and he's going to have a similar year next year, which would be solid, not great.
He seems to have a lot of confidence.
He does. He seems to think, and who knows, that everybody's confident. But
are you sure?
I am. I'll tell you what. I'm honest about the Jets. I'm really starting to feel bullish about this season.
Have you looked at the first half schedule?
That's the thing. At first, I was very upset about that schedule, but then I started to think to myself, wait, but if the Jets are good, they're going to be okay. They're going to hold their head above the water. If they can somehow get 3 or 4 wins out of that first 6 games against 5 playoff teams from last year and a Bills team that swept them, they're in good shape going into the back stretch of the season, and I'm just excited. I've been working, doing this podcast long enough where I've been involved with horrible Jet teams, 8-8 type Jet teams.
But you're always feeling a little optimistic going into week one, as are, hey, by the way, just about every fan, including me and everyone else.
The Lions fans are cracking me up with their excitement.
They're pumped.
Oh, my God.
Calvin Johnson leaves in their
playoff team.
All right. And then, as we said, Dak.
I'll throw
put
him
Dak in
there.
Where
I'll
would he
throw
be?
Him in there.
Where would he be? Cannot put him ahead of Ryan.
No. He would be in the bottom 5. I mean, let's see
put Dak. Put him over Garoppolo. Stop being a homer.
Let's see Dak Prescott in some games that matter.
Let's see Garoppolo in some games
exactly.
that matter.
Exactly.
Put him above Garoppolo where he belongs.
I agree. They actually should all – the guys who have never played in the NFL. Garoppolo has played, by the way. He played a half.
Oh, come on. Stop with that half.
Count. What, garbage timing against the Chiefs?
Week 17
is rookie year.
Yeah. All right, well, anyway, this will be up when on the website?
Wednesday morning.
So make sure you check it out, nfl.com/QBIndex. That feels like a good vanity URL. Is that going to be it?
I'll ask for it. Why not?
What it's been in the past.
All right, Greg. With a little victory lap for Greg, let's get some whistling. Greg Rosenthal, this is a very meaningful piece that he writes every week. So this is his little celebration.
I'm doing a dance.
Yeah. Oh, and you can't see it right now, but exciting news for the podcast. Our preview show on Thursday, it goes up late Thursday, early Friday, depending where you are, will be on YouTube this year. The entire show on YouTube on NFL Now and also our Sunday night recap show. So 2 of our 3 shows will be on video in full. Marron. Somebody on Twitter said, if I hear Dan say Marone, I'm always tempted to turn off the podcast. Turn it off!
Good riddance, clown.
Turn it off! I dare you to turn it off.
We can't talk about Doug Marone again? How about that? You think about that?
Poor old Dougie down in Jack's trapped.
That guy doesn't tell you. You tell him.
Yeah, let us know. Sure. Watch the videos. Let us know what you think.
Maybe that's where I'll
get my – pass it around to your friends. Hit refresh a lot.
Maybe that's where I'll get my unflattering Chris Wessling screenshot.
Oh, you still worried about that?
Because I want revenge!
Thought it was a fine picture of you myself.
I wanted to say thanks, by the way, to all the people that listened way back to the iTunes challenge and left those comments, because I've been watching that, and it has been going up. You know, we broke 1,000. It's been going. It does help us a lot. Our rankings have been good, so if you have not left a comment for us, do it. It helps.
All right. That's fair. And one last thing before we go, I should touch on this, because we're talking quarterbacks. Over on the subreddit, a reader or listener, Citega, who uses Kevin Patra as his avatar, offered up the heroes, each of us, what our QB comparisons are based on their personalities and traits on the podcast.
Well, this is
is ridiculous.
You guys worried about this?
This is asking for it.
This is asking for it a little bit, but I feel like we should see what people have to say. Greg, Drew Brees.
Oh, this person does it.
Yeah. Smaller guy.
Okay.
Not exactly the figure you would expect out of a boss. But efficient and always on the nose with his analysis. Loves New Orleans. Mm,
and phony.
Total phony. Mark, Jay Cutler. Moody. Polarizing.
This is why I'm saying it. I thought you were going to ask us to do it, and even then I was worried. I was just going to give everyone Aaron Rodgers.
Now I'm going to have to tell Mark what was said about him.
Moody, polarizing, but has the respect of most of his teammates. Dan is his Martellus Bennett with his fantasy corner narrative, and is known for taking the second half of the season off. Okay, that wasn't too nice. Wes, Phillip Rivers. Not bad, Wes.
What?
Underappreciated, fiery. We appreciate you.
I actually think
maybe your comedy bits, like when you do your puns and stuff, but otherwise, totally appreciated. Fiery, doesn't back down from anyone. Could retire at any moment and disappear back into the South.
I see no connection between Phil Rivers and...
Really? I actually think this one's good. Other than the children thing is a problem. Look, you want to be Phillip Rivers. That guy, he's competitive. Everyone likes him. He's fiery.
Who's not like fiery and competitive in the NFL? Give me Tom Brady.
Sam Bradford. Dan. Andy Dalton. Fitting. Great when surrounded by talent that hides his deficiencies, like that he doesn't really give much input on fantasy. Well, there was enough honking during the fantasy podcast. I couldn't get anything anyway. Doesn't take criticism well. Right on cue. Dan with Wes's photo incident. Dalton with J.J. Watt's Red Ryder BB. By the way, let me just say, I don't take criticism well. I brought up the photo incident. I took it well. I brought it up. We talked about it.
I don't think you took it well. It wasn't criticism.
That's a circular argument that.
All I did was post a picture in which I thought you looked good.
No, I'll have my vengeance. Connor Orr, Geno Smith. Has shown potential, but you honestly never know where his Spitfire takes are going to go, much like a ride on the Geno coaster. Both live in New Jersey in haunted mansions. Connor haunted by ghosts. Geno haunted by memories of Ike Impale.
Well, I can make a prediction here.
What?
This C. Tega guy is going to be dead to Connor Orr going forward.
And finally, and perhaps curiously, Kevin Patra, Tom Brady.
What?
Keeps a journal of slights that fuel him to build his glorious pod. Okay, I got
it. He's a Michigan fan.
Produces the majority of the content on NFL.com, but leaves the flashy long-form articles to the other heroes.
Does Tom Brady leave the flashy Super Bowl rings to the other quarterbacks? I don't get that one.
I mean, that's up for...
Did Patra write this? The guy has Patra's face as his avatar.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
And he calls himself Tom Brady.
If we uncovered that, that would be amazing if this was Patra in disguise. Working under a pseudonym, C. Tega.
That actually is the first comment on the thing.
Was this written by Patra?
All right. That was interesting.
Yeah, that was good. See?
Is it worse to have a bad QB or not have one at all?
Well, you're saying you want to be a QB.
I'm just wondering what people think about me. Who am I?
Well, maybe C. Tega / Kevin Patra will help you out. I'll give you Patra's phone number and you can get it from him.
You can be
directly.
You can be like Brian Hoyer,
the
backup to Jay Cutler. I don't.
Patra didn't really write this article because the guy spelled Connor Orr's name wrong.
Oh, that's bad. Okay.
That's to throw you off the scent.
Thatcher's wily like that. All right. That's it for today's show. Like I said, we got a lot more coming to you this week, starting tomorrow with our special feature, supplemental podcast, Go Get My Lunch. Oh, how exciting is that? So until then, this is Dan Hanza signing off for the mailman, the boss, and the Irishman behind the glass. Till Wednesday!